We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I mean, I have so many ideas.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Some are simple, like take down traffic lights and eliminate the post office.
With AJ McCord.
I think this is going to be a really good bonding session. Guys love it when you can show them you're better than they are at something they love.
And Dusty Hera.
I've never taken the high road, but I tell other people to, because then there's more room for me on the low road.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
Don't be all like, I am a guy and I like fire.
The Fan.
Hour number three, AJ and Dusty in the afternoon. Blazers got a big one tonight, 6:30 tip local time on ESPN as they moved it to one of the primetime games against the Utah Jazz, the top team in the Western Conference. For a preview, let's head down to Salt Lake. Kristen Kenney covers the Jazz sidelines for their broadcast. Kristen, thanks so much for the time. How you doing today?
Hey, guys. I'm excited about this one. I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing great. No Mike Conley, no Donovan Mitchell again tonight for the Jazz. Could you guys just do us a solid and just lose? Is that possible?
Man, yeah, it's really unfortunate news for Jazz Nation without Donovan for their remaining three games and then reevaluated before the playoffs. But yeah, it's certainly tough. I mean, you guys have been on a roll, though, and without our leading scorer, Donovan Mitchell, and then without Mike Conley, it's going to be a tough one tonight, but I still think it's going to be fun because the Jazz have still been playing really well, winning 8 of the last 10.
Yeah, aren't they 6? I think they're 6-2 or something like that without Mitchell, without Conley. So who have you been most impressed with, Kristen? Who's the one that a Blazers fan should watch out for tonight as the one who could step up to fill those shoes?
Yeah, on any given night, that's the beauty of this team. I think we've talked about this at the beginning of the season when they put together this team. They knew what they were getting in terms of the weapons. It's like pick your poison on any given night. When you're without two of your star players, though, who do you turn to? Well, Bogey has been unbelievable. We call it like Bogeylicious lately because his last games, his numbers have been rocking. And I think what really stands out is the way that he's taken his game inside. So we know him as that three-point threat. But this guy likes to get going early on, too, at the rim. He builds his confidence that way. So I can imagine the Blazers are going to try to be aware of that and not give him any easy looks, easy buckets there. So when he's in attack mode, that certainly changes things for us. Of course, he's still riding a wave of momentum. The last 8 games, he's been unbelievable in that 48-point night. Really amazing. Just unreal. And then, of course, you have the sixth man, Jordan Clarkson, who can turn it on in any given moment. And I think the guy that doesn't get a lot of credit but is really instrumental is Joe Ingles. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All of these guys have three-point ability, and when one of them steps up, good things happen. Even George Yang, you know, a guy like that can knock him down, and we just have to make sure that we're doing things the right way, and there's not a lot of room for error when we're playing a Blazers team that's rolling like you guys are.
You know, one thing that you mentioned, Jordan Clarkson, is there almost like one of those Quinn Snyder literally having to get reins and pull him back? Because you see he had 33 attempts the other night and he made the most of them with a 40-point game. But is he one of those guys where you watch him, it's either he's got it or he doesn't on any given night?
I think he more consistently has it. He's had a couple games where he's been a little off and he acknowledges a slump, but shooters go through that. And you just got to push through. I think what Quinn Snyder does do for JC, it says, you be you. I don't want to change you. You have the green light. So he's had that green light from day one, which has allowed him to be that type of player. But when you go through a little slump, you just kind of got to push through it and keep going and keep going and keep going, because you need that guy, your sixth man, to be rocking by the time playoffs come. So you got to fight through it. And Quinn has always given him the green light. But he has talked about having to pull him off the floor at the end of games because he has a different closing lineup when we're a healthy roster. And, of course, a player like Jordan, who's on fire, you know, no player wants to come off the court when you're closing games. So he's made a couple of funny comments about that. But other than that, no, he has the green light.
So here in Portland, of course, we are keeping a very close eye on the standings. We care every single night who's doing what and the games that the Blazers aren't even a part of. But the Jazz sitting two games between them and the Phoenix Suns, the closest team to that number one seed. What's the vibe in Utah as far as with the 7 and 8, with the play-in tournament, you can't predict who you're going to play in that 7-8 spot. So do you get the feeling that the Jazz are as concerned about keeping that number one spot as they would be in a normal year? Or because number one could take on a red hot Golden State Warriors or a Los Angeles Lakers that all of a sudden is healthy, do you feel like there's less of an emphasis, I guess, on the games at the end of the season for this team?
Yeah, I do. It's such a good question. It's been talked about recently a lot because, yes, you want the number one seed historically. Like, that's what you're fighting for. You've worked so hard for it. You've had it the whole season pretty much. But then you're at a point where, yeah, you have this play-in tournament, and it's kind of scary when you see the Lakers dropping lower and lower and in that play-in range and what's going to happen there. And then, of course, who wants to face the Warriors with Steph Curry? Nobody. Right. So in the playoffs, you know. So it's tough because, yes, I was talking to the guys about this. Yes, you work hard for the number one seed, but you don't want to put the pressure on it. I think the number one thing is they just want to be healthy. Mm. Once you reach the playoffs, none of it matters. You don't know who you're going to play if you're one, if you're two. You're going to start off 0-0, and you got to beat that team four times.
And what does that health look like, though? I mean, you mentioned Mitchell is out until the at least the end of the regular season, which is just a couple more games. Are they confident that it'll be a full go come playoff time?
Well, I mean, that's a big question mark, right? You hope Donovan having this time out that he's back and ready for round one. Mm. But, you know, all of that is up to what he's going through. And, you know, it's tough now because I'm not around the team, obviously, with COVID. And so you're not able to get an idea of where things really are and whatnot. But I know he's eager to play. I mean, this is a guy that it's hard to keep him off the floor. I can't imagine, you know, what he's going through and wanting to be ready for the playoffs. I mean, this team, there's high stakes here. And who are you going to play in the first round, right? I mean, right. You face potentially facing Warriors even with Steph Curry. I mean, they're a dangerous team. You look at all these teams in the West, like sitting looking at potentially playing. I mean, who knows with a play-in? It's there's a lot at stake. So, yeah, it's tough. I think just if he's healthy, if he's back, if he's feeling good, I mean, they're prioritizing that number one. That's likely why he's missing these next three games, making sure that our star player, our leading scorer, Donovan Mitchell, is at full strength come the time when we need him most. Yeah, but it's you're just crossing your fingers. You're hoping. And that's what the guys, you talk to the guys and they're like, look, we can only control what we can control. And I'm sure you guys hear that too a lot.
Oh,
it's tough because you can't put too much pressure on it. It's everything's changed this year. Yes, I think the play-in's exciting, but man, when you're scouting and you're wanting to know, okay, well, who are we going to get here?
I know, I've said it the entire time. Everyone loves the drama except for the ones who have to actually deal with it,
yep.
Which are the players. So the Jazz have had a very great stretch as of late, having won 5 of their last 6. But that loss was against the Warriors, 119-116. That one, Steph Curry had a crazy shot. I believe it was that one. And what's the mood around the Jazz coming into this game tonight against the Blazers in particular?
Yeah, I was talking to Joe Ingles just this morning about you guys because here you're coming in, Blazers on a roll, really finding a lot of success with that 3-guard lineup. Obviously, Dame is Dame. The Jazz have done pretty well defensively on Dame this season, but he's turned a corner, and it's Dame time, right? And this is the time where he shows up. So, you know, Joe, they all know that this is a big game. This is a game that matters. It's our last home game of the regular season. We're playing in front of 6,000 plus fans.
Holy.
So, yeah, we've got 6,000 plus fans in here. Let me tell you, I never thought I'd be excited about 6,000 fans It feels like 18,000 right now.
I was jumping up and down with 1,900 on Friday.
Right? Yeah. Yes. So, you know, they want to close it out on a high note. They want to get back into a rhythm. And this is a game that matters where they can really test where they're at. Of course, you're not doing it with two key guys. But look what they did against Denver. I think if they can come out and play like they did against Denver, and what I mean by that is the Jazz want to play fast. They want to quickly move the ball up the floor. They want to play that blender, drive inside, kick it out, find their open shooters. No hesitation shots. If we're hesitating, that's where turnovers happen, like we saw against the Warriors. That starts off obviously on the defensive end too. Guarding your 3-point shooters, guarding the 3-point line tonight is going to be key. Getting those stops, getting out and running. That's key to the Jazz playing the right way. And I know they had some struggles against the Warriors and would like to turn that around.
You know, as I look at this Jazz team, it's been that slow and steady build, right? And it's kind of gone hand in hand. You know, Dennis Lindsay has done a great job of building the franchise. Quinn Snyder has played a huge role. And then you have the current GM, Justin Zanuck, who's been, you know, he was a guy that they wanted to take away. A lot of people on franchise want to take him away when he was younger and in his career. Who gets most of the credit here for what's going on in Utah right now? Because it's kind of been the three-headed monster.
I think it's all of them. I think they knew the entire upper management, basketball ops, and Coach Quinn Snyder have known what they wanted, and they patiently built it. And I think this is what actually Greg Popovich was just talking about when we played the Spurs. Somebody asked him a question about Coach Quinn Snyder and what he's built here, and he said it's the culture. So it goes beyond just the coach. It starts with the culture of the franchise. And buying into something that Dennis Lindsay has done such a great job creating and building, as well as Justin Zanuck, the Miller family, and, you know, that team mentality. And then Coach Quinn Snyder is so much of a part of that. And what he has a gift of is getting the best out of his players and putting them in positions where they excel, starring in their role, not forcing them or trying to change them into being somebody else, but taking what he has and the skill sets that he has with these guys and making the most of it. I think it's all of it combined. And I love that Greg Popovich talked about that, about the culture, because that's what you saw with the Spurs, the mentality there, that culture, that team culture first.
Mm. Does Quinn Snyder smile? I'm going to take that as no.
That's the best question ever. When Bowler interviews him pregame, I get to see, I get to see some smiles. Depends on the day. Yeah, depends on the day.
Right.
He's so intense. I love the intensity. But yeah, I've seen him here and there.
Wow. Breaking news.
Maybe not on the sidelines.
Kristen Kenny, thank you so much, Jazz sideline reporter. Really appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Look, the San Antonio thing is very interesting. And I didn't know that Greg Popovich brought it up, the culture thing. Dennis Lindsay came from San Antonio. Quinn Snyder, right after his falling out with the University of Missouri, and he was kind of in no man's land. Guess which organization gave him his crack to get back into the game?
San Antonio.
San Antonio Spurs. He was the head coach of their D League team. Now the G League. At the time it was the D League. So there is a big connection there, and there's no doubt about it. Like, that footprint is seen on that organization right now.
The Pop coaching tree extends very far.
That's right. All right, Blazers Jazz tonight. 6:30. Trying to find the balance, aren't we all? It ran off one high-profile coach, and he talked about it in an interview. Are more coming now? AJ and Dusty on the Fan and the Odyssey app.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I have not forgotten. There are two breakthroughs in your life that need to be discussed today.
Yes.
I got you.
Okay.
Bruce Feldman.
But you have something too.
Yeah, I do. I've got a buddy asking for an investment. How do you handle?
Yes.
How do you handle that friend?
We must debate.
Because it's more of a, man, are you in a pyramid scheme or a scheme of some sort to have all of your money taken?
What is that called? MLM? Multi-level management? Something?
Marketing.
Marketing. That's it.
Multi-level marketing.
Whatever, that one.
No. It's not like that. It seems like it may be far more nefarious. And I believe it has to do with phishing, too. Like, it's like, oh, boy, you click the link. You click the link and they roped you in on the link. You clicked
this
it and
why,
then you roped it in.
This is why you get all the viruses.
I didn't click it. Mm. I didn't click it. I'm not clicking anything because look, this case, when you get that call from that person, you know, or the text, you're like, nope, that's
new,
a non-clicker.
New phone, who dis?
Yeah, that's a non-clicker. No, but I have to be like, I know who this is because there's other things that you make me laugh a lot. But this one, no.
Don't fall for it.
So 503-250-1080. But trying to find the balance, Chris Peterson sat down with Bruce Feldman of The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of opened up, and I thought it was really interesting to hear the former Boise State and University of Washington coach talk about balance in life. In that being a big part in as to why he stepped away from coaching.
Yeah.
He's one of the great coaches that we've seen in college football. And just looking at the path that he took and in the successes that he had at every turn. And he has this Built for Life program that he's had at Boise State and UW, where he was telling Bruce Feldman, like, he talks about balance as a big part of it. And, you know, he struggled with going home at night knowing that he didn't have that balance in his own life. He was preaching to his guys.
Totally. Because you think about, he was talking about the college football season itself, right? Mm-hmm. Which is July when they show up for their camp, and then all the way through December, January sometimes. And then it used to be that there was an off season. But now with recruiting, with social media, with how many players you can access so quickly. Yep. He was talking about just how it's like a 24/7, 365. And if you're not doing it, and this is what's hard, and this is where I have a lot of empathy from me, like in the sports broadcasting world too, because it's such a public thing, right? You've got recruits saying, oh, I just talked to so-and-so from this university. Such a blessing to receive an offer from X, Y, and Z. And all of a sudden, some other coach is like, oh, man, I haven't talked to that kid lately. Yeah. What did they, you know? So it's like this very public, you can see other people hustling when you're trying to take a breather. And that's a lot of pressure.
And there's a lot, and this is going to be the fascinating part about what happens and moving forward from this year.
Mm.
Because we're starting to see those recruiting restrictions that have that during COVID, that's something that Peterson brings up as he goes, you know, there's a lot of coaches who've said it's been a relief.
Yeah.
Because you can't be recruiting 24/7, 365. In that offseason, they've actually had a little bit of an offseason now. It will be interesting to see if some coaches come out of this and say, when it gets back to normal and it is that grind, maybe it's not worth it. Because Chris Peterson says, he's one of them that said, all right, I got to focus on the other things.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are guys like Nick Saban, or Mario Cristobal is one of these guys who is 24/7, 365, go, 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 go. I'll find time.
Yep.
You know, and, you know, those guys who need 3 hours of sleep and their balance is... And look, that's not to say Cristobal does, because Cristobal does show, you know, he's got pictures with his family going out and doing things. It's not to say that he's not, but those guys that don't need that sleep can find hours in the day to do all of it. That's a different breed of coach now.
Mm-hmm. And it's one that there's going to be people who opt out of that. And that's sort of what Chris Peterson has said, is like, it's not that, it's just not worth it for me anymore. And I think that's why, again, in these really public vocations, it's really easy to compare your success to somebody else's success. Oh, they just got hired for this job. Oh, they're doing this. Whereas, like, you don't know if you're in accounting or mm-hmm. sales, unless you follow somebody on Facebook or, you know, it's not the same networking thing. But in these really visible jobs, it's really easy to have that constant comparison going on. And Chris Peterson was saying, it's not worth it for me right now. It's not worth it in this stage of my life. I've given a lot to the game and I don't want to do it anymore.
And I do find it fascinating that, you know, whether it's Peterson or anybody else, like you mentioned in any other field, whether you're in sales or something, like you have that competitiveness too, where that is something that you'll bring your work home with you. And it
yes.
takes up a lot of your time. And we see it a lot in a lot of different avenues, and doesn't matter the industry that you work in. You will find a way, if you have that edge and that fire, to make it to a point where you lose that balance. And that's why I think that the Built for Life program that he had at Washington, and I think a lot of programs do now have that same sort of program, something similar to it at mm-hmm. most schools. Preaching the balance is a very important thing, especially when you're in those years where you need that and you're framing that, like when you're in college. Because if you don't have that when you get out, that's where that competitive edge kind of goes to a point where Peterson was like, it's not healthy for me anymore.
Yep. And that's even important with Darla, who we were talking to yesterday, and about how it's going to be really important with NIL to remind these kids that, hey, $5,000 feels like a lot right now. That's going to be like 3 months worth of expenses if you're mm-hmm. lucky, depending on where you live post-college, right? And so there has to be it's something that needs to be ingrained in our society a lot more than it is, because that hustle, that grind, all of that, that's the most respected thing. Whereas when you take a break, when you take a vacation, when you take a rest, a night off, there's almost, and it's something I struggle with it all the time, of I struggle to rest. I struggle to check out, even on vacation. It's like, I need to be knowing. It's like this constant buzzing in the back of my mm-hmm. head of, I got to know everything that's going on. And so even on vacation, at the end of like 10, 20 minutes at the end of every night, check in. What's going on? What happened in the world of sports? Who was drafted? Because I missed the NFL draft on vacation. And it's something that I fully recognize it's not healthy. So it's something that every person has to sort of have this struggle, or this like come to Jesus moment with themselves of, where is my time worth? Like, what is my time worth? Where am I putting it towards? And is it am I able to bring my best self if I'm going all the time? Or do I need to create periods of rest so that I can actually be my best?
Yeah. And that is one thing that he said in this, Chris Peterson, it's a very good read, go to The Athletic, is that one of the mistakes that I made is that I didn't get somebody that I could help me that's not in the fight every day. That's another crazy thing about this coaching and game planning. We're into game plans and we don't game plan for ourselves. The other thing is that all we do is coach every day, everybody else up, but yet most of us don't have somebody else that can really help coach us in what really tough competitive arenas that we're in. Mm-hmm. Like in having that, I think we all kind of go through that where it's like, somebody that you just don't understand, right? Mm. How many times you don't get it.
Yep.
Like you don't understand what it's like. And having that person kind of bounce things off with, I think that's going to be the next evolution of what we see in coaching in organizations, because we have mental health coaches for players,
mm-hmm.
but as far as the staffs, it's like, it's that lost kind of avenue. And I think that will be kind of our next evolution in coaching, because there will be coaches that are lost because of COVID in college football in basketball, mm-hmm. where they go, I took a step back for a year and it was kind of nice.
Yeah.
And then there's other people that are probably going to get divorced and just focused on everything because they were at home too much.
Yep. And I think that the important thing is that success is such a personal definition, right? I think for so long, yeah. it's really easy to fall into sort of society's definition of success, which is you climb the ladder, you win the championships, you recruit the best. That is success. And it's okay for you to redefine it personally. Mm. And that's what it felt like Chris Peterson was explaining in this article, is success to him was no longer what he was doing at UW. It's not to take away from it. It's not to love that season of his life, but it's time to define success differently in this next chapter.
These guys are really, 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 really rich, and Forbes just shoved it right in your face after Will with SportsCenter. All right. Anthony Davis ruled out tonight, too.
Yes.
We saw that.
No LeBron, no AD, no Schroeder.
Why'd you say it like that?
Because I always have to remember how to pronounce it, because when you look at it, it looks like Schroeder.
This is going to be, and this should be the fear, this will be the Kyle Kuzma scores a billion game.
All right.
Kyle Kuzma is going to shoot 8 million times. He is going to score 60 points, and that's the way that they beat the Rockets tonight.
All right.
Look, a Rockets win goes a long way for the Portland Trailblazers. No LeBron, no AD, no Schroeder. Good news. And then you have like half of the roster outside of those guys is also on the injury report, which, I mean, Caruso left last night early, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did. But also the Rockets injury report.
Yeah, the Rockets are one of the worst basketball teams I've ever seen.
But like even their injury report is bad. Avery Bradley out. Kevin Porter out, DJ Wilson out, Christian Wood questionable.
They need to put, is this game on national TV? Because it needs to be. We need to put this game on national TV.
You wouldn't know who was playing.
Exactly. It'd be like watching a college basketball game. It's like watching March Madness.
No, the Blazers are on national TV instead.
Yeah, I know, at 6:30.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's who they opted to put on national TV.
Put them on NBA TV. Because this is going to be horrific basketball, and it's going to be who can get theirs the most. And I am here for it.
Yep.
I am totally here for a just chucking up shots, because one thing that we learned the other night with Houston, they won't play a lick of defense. They'll shoot though.
A lot.
They put up 129 against the Blazers. So hopefully they can do that again. And maybe they get lucky.
Wouldn't that be something?
Maybe they get lucky.
Who do you think would win? In
I like this
a game,
like where we're going
between the now mm-hmm. Rockets,
yep.
as they are right now,
mm-hmm.
and the end of the season 2011-2012 Portland Trailblazers. And I know AJ's putting her hands up, but if you're a Trailblazers fan,
wow,
you remember what it became at the end. You know,
like spanning a decade here,
you know, hold on, Kurt Thomas, Hasheem Thabeet, Luke Babbitt.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody injured.
We're looking at, I really would like to see what that roster did look like.
Craig Smith. Nolan Smith.
Oh, boy.
Johnny Flynn.
Elliot Williams on that team. He's probably hurt.
Yep, he was there.
Yeah,
so was Sean Williams.
That's a name I forgot. North Carolina's best. Yeah.
I mean, that thing was bad.
That Blazers team. Yeah.
Yeah. Towards the end, that was when they fired Nate, and then I forgot who took
Caleb
over.
Caleb Canales, dude.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. He took over for like 20 something games.
And this is going to be interesting because one of our texters pointing this out, we talked with Kristen Kenny about the Jazz making, you know, it's really hard with the play in to know who you're going to play. One of our texters saying, if I'm LA, I'd rather get the play in game and play Phoenix than play the Clippers. Fact or fiction?
If you are the Lakers? Then?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think fact.
Yeah,
but
you have to get through the Golden State Warriors, who are insanely hot, and you get Steph Curry for one game just to shoot.
But if you're in that 7-8 game, then you get one more chance, and you're going to take on either the Grizzlies or the Spurs, it looks like.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
if you're the Lakers, you're like, just get healthy.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So maybe it is like a, well, if they don't really care, if they're sort of mailing it in
mm-hmm.
because they don't care, then
they don't what?
They don't care.
No, they don't. All right. Well, hey, that's your latest here in the world of sports. Forbes released its list of the top 10 earning athletes. That's going to have to wait until tomorrow because we have breakthroughs that we need to get to.
Yes.
All right.
Big deal.
And
in AJ's little world.
Well, also this needs to be talked about. Oregon State women's golf got absolutely hosed today.
Yep.
We'll talk about that next on The Fan. All right, another note. The future is already in Green Bay. Blake Bortles signing with the Packers. You can just get rid of Aaron Rodgers now. he's been signed. Yep. So all that's right. A thing.
Wasn't he a third string on the Rams?
Don't worry about it.
He was the guy who replaced Goff, right?
You know what is of note, though? Playoff wins? Even with Aaron Rodgers since 2017. They each have two playoff wins since 2017.
No wonder they signed him.
I mean, got to ask the question, who's better?
Do you have to ask that question?
Oh, God, no.
Made me uncomfortable.
All right. But Oregon State women's golf down in Baton Rouge for the NCAA Women's Golf Regionals, which were supposed to be Monday, Tuesday in TD. This is the scene that unfolded out in front of the country club in Baton Rouge, where the Beavers were the seventh seeded team heading into the regional.
Mm-hmm.
Top six advance. Here's what happened. Oh, that's not working for me. I can't.
Look, this is one of the most gut-wrenching decisions and announcements that I've ever been a part of. Even though the course is playable, it's not playable at a championship level. Therefore, the top six teams that were seeded will advance, along with the top three individuals not under 16. Again, it was a heart-wrenching decision that we had to make.
Yikes. So I don't know how much you could hear, but the reactions at the end are what were legitimate. They had a course official come out from the NCAA and say the course is, they've had heavy wins at canceled play. Mm-hmm. They said the course is playable, but not in championship conditions. So the top six teams and the top 14 individuals will advance. Everybody else go home. And that's when you heard the crying and the yelling. I don't know if those were Oregon State women's golfers. It was just, that was the video posted to their Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
So they just basically said, yeah, sorry, bye. Top six teams advance. Oregon State, again, was seeded seventh heading into that.
It's just so, has the NCAA taken one W? Like in recent months?
No.
Everywhere you turn, it's an L. Every single spot. And you heard it in the voices of those women. That's not the way to decide a tournament. And I'm reading Nick Daschle's article, and he said that it was, you know, the NCAA made its decision by leaning on the tournament manual, which says the regional has to end on Wednesday. The course absorbs 7 inches of rain over several days. Oregon State team members painted a slightly different picture, saying it rained hard Monday, eased on Tuesday and Wednesday. Skies were somewhat sunny during the afternoons. Also, it's the rainy season in Louisiana. Like, period. Like, this is what happens in this time of the year in Louisiana.
And don't tell a team from Oregon they can't play in the rain.
Yeah, also that. And so this is let them play or move it to Thursday. Bend the rules a tiny bit.
They have a week until
yes.
Until the championship start.
24 hours is not going to make that big of a difference.
No, no, it won't.
And you can't hide behind the rule book in a situation like this.
No, it sucks for Oregon State women's golf. All the other players that were there too, because, you know, LSU, Ole Miss, Baylor, Oregon, Maryland, and Alabama, they all advance out of that. But it sucks for all the other teams because especially the top six advanced, they were seeded seventh.
And Ellie Slama,
seventh,
who is Oregon State's star, right? She's played at the Masters tournament a few times.
I have no idea.
Well, I'm telling you.
Okay.
Okay. So she said, they kept saying the course wasn't in championship condition, which they never gave us a definition for. I've played hundreds of tournaments with way worse conditions. Here's where you brought up. Every single Oregon Golf Association Winter Series tournament I played in was dumping the rain the entire time, and they let us play. They didn't even give us a chance, didn't even send us out and try.
That sucks.
She said, and afterwards they walked the course. There were some, golf more than I do, but they said, she said that 20 to 30 yards off the tee box, there were some water puddles, which realistically no one should ever be in. No standing water in fairways, a few areas of standing water and bunkers that could have been played as ground under repair.
That sucks. Yeah. And the guy made his own grave in that by saying it's playable, but not championship, you know, conditions. That shouldn't matter. That sucks. Oh, well. Well, that's your golf latest.
There you go. Way to get golf in the show.
Yeah. Yeah. But the yelling in the background, that really, I like that. I mean, we need more yelling in the background of NCAA people making stupid decisions.
Yes.
I'm pro. If a stupid decision is made, the yelling in the background needs to happen.
Yes.
More frequently.
Someone did point out, yes, the Oregon women qualified because they were the four seed.
Yeah.
Or fourth in standings.
Will, do you want to defend the Oregon State Beavers for a second here?
Yeah.
Do you want to go to bat for them and say how terrible the NCAA is?
I don't think I have 10 seconds. I don't think I have to explain how terrible the NCAA is or just blame it on the Ducks. Because in some way, this is Oregon's fault.
Now that is what we're talking about right there.
It is.
Spoken like a true Beaver.
That's what Oregon State can go ahead and lean on
if you really think about it.
No, stop.
Don't do that. Don't really think. It's going to hurt your head. Yep, that face.
Okay,
His head is hurting.
All right, tomorrow, breakthroughs in your life.
Yeah, we didn't. I mean, a lot can happen in 24
I didn't forget
hours.
About them.
We'll see.
All right. Blazers play the Jazz tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. And then they have the Phoenix Suns tomorrow as well. We'll have Nick DePaula. If you are a sneakerhead like my co-host is, you'll want to tune in 1:15 tomorrow. We'll talk the shoe game in the NBA.
And W.
Coming up next is Primetime with Isaac and Souk from 3 to 7. They're going to break down every single game of the NFL schedule next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.